So the format of this speaker series right now is our speaker discussion. Our speaker today is Siobhan, and she's going to share on the topic of the principles of step and tradition 10. Thank you very much, Siobhan.
Okay, thank you. My name is Siobhan, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm glad that everyone's here this evening and that the group's not too big, because then I'd be, you know, nervous. But I always, when I do share, I like to start with a disclaimer, which I guess, I don't know why I do this. I am only sharing from my own experience, and I don't want anyone to ever interpret what I'm saying in any way as telling anyone else what they should be doing for their program, because that's not my intention, and I don't think anyone likes to be told what to do, especially addicts. So that's not my intention. I am sharing on the principle of perseverance, which in OA corresponds with step 10, and I am also sharing on the principle of neutrality, which corresponds with OA tradition 10. And I had to chuckle at neutrality, and you'll find out why when I start talking about it. So I will give some background, a little bit of what happened, et cetera, you know. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since March of 2014. And when I came in, I was in my 40s, and I was a mess. I was a mess, in every regard, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, bad shape. And so, I had the gift of desperation, which is not to say that I became abstinent immediately. I didn't. When I came in, I had no idea what a compulsive overeater was, that I was a compulsive overeater. I had no idea that this was a program based in large part on spirituality. I never would have come. The only reason that I came to OA was because I had reached the point where I literally was powerless over food, that I knew I could not stop eating. And Mary Beth, I will, you can go ahead and share the picture. And I think, a picture, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. But, I think that I was not obese my entire life. That happened, I don't know what, my 30s, I guess. I did have a history of yo-yo dieting. Which started pretty much the second, the first time I remember losing a significant amount of weight was maybe this summer after high school. And that began a lifetime of yo-yo dieting. And because this is a progressive illness, the swings got larger and larger. So, it may have been 15 pounds. I don't even remember. Maybe it was 20 pounds. I don't know. The first time. And then as I got older, 30, 40, 50, 60, and then my last large weight loss was about 85 pounds. I'm not 100% sure, because I stopped weighing myself because I could not deal with the numbers that I was seeing on the scale. And so in hindsight is 2020. As I say, when I came in, all I wanted to do was lose weight, because I realized that, let me back up a little bit. So once I, the food addiction really got a hold of me, and I really became a serious binger, I couldn't stop binging. If you can't stop binging, you can't lose weight. And so that was puzzling to me, because I had I used to be an excellent dieter. I was a lifetime member of Weight Watchers. I was a lifetime member of Jenny Craig, and I had lost weight on those programs. But of course, I was clueless about the allergy. And I knew that I was unhappy, but I did not know about the role that spirituality played. You know, I would go into therapy from time to time, but it really didn't do anything much for my eating. And in fact, I didn't even talk about it very much, to be perfectly honest. So when I came into OA, I was quite a miserable person. And I did not realize that OA was going to affect not just my weight, but my life as well. Now, as I say, when I came in, I had no desire to stop eating. I just wanted to stop being heavy. I had given up trying to lose weight for, I don't know, maybe 5 years or so. And I guess I was, I don't know, a friend of mine, we were going to go on a diet. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I think over a 2 month period, I lost like a whopping 6 pounds, which was kind of shocking to me, as I say, because I did have a history of dieting and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't realize that I was a compulsive overeater and that I had become addicted to food. I didn't know until I came in. You know, as they say, you don't know what you don't know. So when I came into the program, you know, I heard, it's so funny when I think now about my first impressions, I was like, why is everybody talking about sugar? And I was like, yeah, I'm a sugar addict, but so what? And so, you know, I just wanted the food plan. I wanted to know what to eat so I could lose weight. And I didn't know anything about the steps, except for I'd heard of them because I'd heard of AA. My attitude was quite, I guess you would say, a bit of a smart aleck. I was willing to put down sugar for, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, just to see, like, you know, to show that that had nothing to do with anything. And luckily for me, pretty early on in my OA career, I happened to go to a workshop where Laurie C was talking, and he's from Canada. Some of you may know him. And he was the first person I heard talk about alcoholic foods. And so, you know, the red light, yellow light, green light. And that made so much sense to me. That was like, okay, I get it. And, you know, maybe I'm lucky because I was a binger, but it was very clear to me, you know, I binged on the same types of foods over and over and over again. So I knew what my red light foods were. So I was able, when I was, I don't know, I think I was in program for 3 months or so, when I finally became willing to try to put the food down. So, you know, I started out by not eating my binge foods. And, you know, OA is not about the food, but it starts about the food. Unfortunately, the two go hand in hand. You know, food is the substance that I was abusing. So I had to get it out of my system, and it cleared the way for the rest of the work that I needed to do to learn how to live without binging and numbing myself with foods, with my addictive foods. So, you know, I'm very, as I say, grateful that I just happened to, you know, happened to run into Laurie C. And it just made so much sense to me, because I was like, well, you can't, if you're an alcoholic, you can't, you're either sober or you're not. And I know a lot of people say food is harder, and it may be, I don't know. But I don't feel it's harder in the sense that, is this an alcoholic food or is it not? Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a gift or a curse, but I'm a very black and white kind of gal. So, like, I just, you know, got clarity on what was red, what was yellow, and what was green, and tried. And, you know, and since then, a few things have snuck in on me. Like, I was, well, who cares? Whatever. You know, the foods sneak in on you. You realize, like, oh, this is also, like, this is like a yellow turning orange kind of red. Got to stop that. So, you know, that sort of stuff I've continued to discover over the years. So I don't know exactly how long it took me to work the steps, but it was working of the steps that really changed my life. And so, you know, I know a lot of times when I listen to shares by people, it's like, I almost feel like I'm watching Oprah, and it's like, you got a car, you got a car, you got a car. Well, that's not my story. I didn't win the lottery. I didn't, you know, marry a movie star, you know, none of that stuff. But the quality of my life is so much better. I did not realize how dysfunctional I was, or how warped, frankly, my view of reality was. I was full of self-pity. I was full of resentment, and I was full of fear. And so when I think about how my mind was operating when I came in, it's not a wonder I was eating all the time. My God, you know, it was either that or something, you know, something else. And, you know, I would have to abuse something because I was so uncomfortable in every way. And I was looking for relief, and I got that from food. I was pretty much a very angry person. I would have called myself an atheist. You know, so I had a hard time. It took me a long time to take steps 2 and 3. And luckily, you know, as we all know, it's the higher power of our own conception. And so no one tells me what I have to believe or not believe in this program. So initially, you know, the group was my higher power, because the group, you know, group dynamic is something that's stronger than me, and et cetera, et cetera. And it does have an impact on me, et cetera, et cetera. And then I started to explore, you know, maybe a different type of higher power. And in hindsight, I think that I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew that OA was, as they say, the last house on the block. And if I was to put my trust into a higher power and it didn't work, I didn't think that was too scary to me, because what could possibly be left? Nothing. So in any event, I've worked the steps several many times. And each time I've done it, I've really gotten something different out of it. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm on my fifth time of doing my steps now, and I'm still getting something out of it. But I'm going to skip straight to the third time that I got something out of the steps, because the first two times weren't that interesting. Well, no, I'll skip to the second. The second time I was able to share some of my deeper, darker secrets, and I was met with acceptance and love from my sponsor at the time. And so that meant a lot to me. You know, the fellowship means a lot to me. And so it's important that we have each other, because we can't do this alone. You know, as we say, my best thinking got me into the rooms. So the support of the fellowship is super important. You know, for me, it takes more than just that. I do realize that not everyone has to work the steps, you know, to stop compulsively overeating. So there's no judgment if you haven't worked the steps. I would encourage anyone to work the steps. The third time I did the steps, that was when, with steps 5 and 6, I was able to make the turnaround in terms of what was my contribution, how did I get the ball rolling, that kind of thing. And that was really life-changing for me, because as I said, I was just seething with resentment, seething. And, you know, while I was so sick with all that resentment, I couldn't possibly have a higher power, because how could I have a higher power that was so unfair, that, you know, was treating me so badly, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, just so much self-pity and et cetera. It's really, and I'm not, you know, it was the best that I could do based on my life experience up to that point. I mean, I came from two alcoholic parents. You know, it's a miracle that I was employed. So, you know, I did the best that I could. Now I want to move on to the principles that we're supposed to talk about. Actually, one more thing. So now that I'm working with the fourth time I worked the steps, I was focusing on fear. And I think that I made a lot of progress in that department. And now I'm doing the steps yet again. And much to my surprise, well, it shouldn't be to my surprise, because I'm just another bozo on the bus. I'm going through this workshop and we're doing step 4. And I was like, oh, step 4, you know, who likes it? I don't want to do step 4. And so it was different, because I'm familiar with it. It's still a bit of a heavy lift. You know, I'd rather watch Netflix than do step 4. You know, I didn't have as many resentments. Thank goodness. That's what one would expect. But I did find, in listening to the speaker, I misunderstood or jumped to conclusions about what the speaker was saying and was totally triggered by it, totally triggered. And I'm with my little study group and I'm going off about no one can tell me that I can't feel my feelings. I'm entitled to feel my feelings, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, now in hindsight, again, I'm thinking like, oh my God, what a spectacle. But it's okay. It's okay. I thought I was done with a certain area of my life, but I guess I need to go back now. You know, now that I've been working on, you know, the physical came first, the spiritual was next. I guess I've got some emotional stuff to go back and work on. That's okay. I don't think that I'm ever going to be done working in this program ever until I'm in a box. So that ties in nicely with perseverance. So that goes with step 10. And, you know, I think that that's a terrific principle, both in terms of step 10 specifically and also outside of step 10. This program requires perseverance. And in the big book, it tells us that acting in accordance with my higher power's will is the proper use of the will. And so I have to use my will to the best of my ability. It's not always perfect. It's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. So, you know, one day maybe I'm a grumpy ass and I don't want to do my step 10 and I don't want to be loving and tolerant and compassionate towards all. You know what? Okay. It's a new day. I can say a prayer. I can meditate. I can begin again. But this is, you know, they say it's simple, but not easy. I don't think it's simple, but I don't know, maybe I don't think it's simple or easy, but it definitely takes perseverance and just trying to the best of my ability. Some days it's going to be great. I'm going to feel like I'm running a marathon and I just rip through the ribbon. And other days I'm just pulling the blanket over my head. I don't want to get up. Leave me alone. So, you know, as to step 10 in particular, I'm going to, I've been told to do step 10 different ways. I'm going to cut to the way that works best for me because everyone's different. I know there are step 10 trains. I have had a sponsor who told me to basically reach out anytime that I get upset or have an emotion during the day. That did not feel realistic to me. So what I do is what one of my sponsors told me is the best piece of advice she gave me. It wasn't just, am I upset? Because a lot of times if I'm in the middle of an emotion, I'm not like clinically just separated from that and thinking, oh, look, you're having a little bit of an emotion. You should go into the hallway and do a 10th step. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't work that way. I get so sucked into whatever it is, you know? So what my sponsor told me, my sponsor at the time said, whenever your feathers are ruffled, that's how she put it. Whenever your feathers are ruffled, it's a good time to do a step 10. So my feathers can be ruffled because I'm embarrassed, because I'm angry, because I'm sad. It can be anything. It can be, you know, feathers are ruffled covers a lot. And I find that helpful because you know, it's not just anger that I need to attend to. So basically what my sponsor told me at the time was to do that step 10 to my higher power. And if I find that I cannot let it go, especially if I find myself telling other people the story, did I tell you that Betty said blah, 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 and then tell to somebody else, or my sister did this and that and this. If I'm telling people the story, guess what? I need to do a step 10 on it. So that is what works for me. I cannot, you know, drop everything I'm doing to call somebody every single time I have an emotion. That doesn't work for me. It may work for other people, you know. So that's how I do it. And, you know, I have experimented and probably will continue to experiment. And I think that's in terms of working the program. And that's part of perseverance. So recently I was talking with a fellow about meditating and we discussed possibly meditating before picking this up in the morning. Okay. So the challenge was to do it for 2 weeks. And if you can't do it for 2 weeks, you got to start over. Guess what? I'm starting over tomorrow. So far, not so good, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to keep trying. It's perseverance, progress, not perfection. And then let me see, how long am I talking? Okay, fine, good. So, you know, and I think that that is true as far as all of the steps are concerned. You know, now that I'm going through the steps again, I was especially struck with, if you'll indulge me for just a second, for step two, even though we're not on, nope, step three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. You know, the first, for several years, it was God as we understood him. What struck me now is made a decision to turn our will. In other words, it's often presented as a decision, and it is a decision. But to me, turn is a verb. I need to literally turn toward my higher power. And a lot of times, I don't want to do that because I'm lazy. I'm lazy, and I'm self-willed, and I want to be in charge, and I'm busy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have a million excuses for why I might not do that. So now I'm focused on the turn. I need to turn, and I'm going to persevere in that so that I can do it more and more. And the thing that's terrific about step, I might go over like a couple of minutes. Hopefully that's okay. So I just want to give a quick example of step 10, super quick. There was a woman at work who drove me crazy. Hearing her voice literally caused my blood pressure to like shoot up, like, I don't even know what, 200 points or whatever. I couldn't stand her. So I'd step 10. And so, you know, I got to the point where it didn't happen overnight. It took a few years. I had to do a lot of step 10s on this woman. And the truth of the matter is, what really drove me crazy about her wasn't her. It was what I felt she was challenging my intelligence. So it was all about my ego. That's what it was about. It wasn't about her. It was about her threatening my self-esteem. That's why I was so emotional about this woman. Who cares? She's not my friend. She's not in my life. She's just someone who's in the office. So anyway, then I guess about a year and a half ago, before the pandemic, she did something that was totally outrageous. But you know what? I actually was able to look at what she did and have a certain amount of admiration for her, because although she shouldn't have done it, she was sticking to her principles, and she went all the way up to the top, to the director, and she said, this is what I'm doing. And I said, you know what? I admire that. I have to admire that. That's really, this woman has courage. She's crazy, but she has courage. And then, you know, because it's progress, not perfection, last week, she sends me something, and she's like, you have typos. So as soon as I got the email telling me I have typos, I felt like, you know, oh, I got something. I'm like, why don't you fix them and then just take care of it? Don't bother me with your stuff. But then I was like, okay, that is not about her. That is about me. I'm embarrassed because there are typos in my letter. That's what it's about. So, you know, I was able to instantly make that step 10 and let it go. I didn't have to bring it to somebody else. You know what I mean? I mean, so, but I, you know, this, with this particular person, it was over and over and over again. Now I want to move on to neutrality, which is part of the tradition. And so tradition 10, let me just get over here, which talks about keeping outside issues out. I just want to say it properly. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. So I want to talk about that in two regards. One is within the OA meetings, I have no problem sticking with that tradition. You're not going to hear me talking about anything outside issues. If I do, I do it in a very neutral, super neutral way, because we all have opinions, and this is a safe place. It's important, you know, it's important that people feel that they can come back, even if they have different views on outside stuff. We're not here because of the outside stuff. We're here because of, we're compulsive overeaters. So I don't have a problem adhering to that within the meeting. But when I think of my life outside of the meeting, and, you know, I feel like the principles should be applied, excuse me, the traditions and the principles should be applied in my life as well. And in that regard, I've done terrible. So anyone who knows me, like personally, like hangs out with me as a friend, knows this. I mean, I am like terrible cuckoo bird. My Facebook page is a nightmare. I will not even give it out, my Facebook page, because I am so embarrassed by the ranting and raving and raging into thin air, passive aggressive nonsense. So not neutral, so spiritually unfit. So, you know, why is it okay? Why can I adhere to that in the rooms? And why did I have such a hard time, you know, on this Facebook thing? That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it. But I have always been able to recognize that it's not spiritually fit for me to be raging on Facebook. And I have talked it over with more than one sponsor and with my fellows outside the rooms. And I'm happy to report that I have made I'm going to say a 90% improvement. Maybe once every 2 weeks, you'll get like a cranky, whatever. I'll be cranky. But, you know, I've really been able to make some headway on that. So I'm grateful for that. Again, it's progress, not perfection. So again, my Facebook page is not under my name, thank God. And I'm still so embarrassed. But, you know, the truth is, I can benefit from neutrality. Because, you know, I guess one of the things, because it all comes down to, I want to control how other people think, what they believe. I want everyone to believe and think like I do, because obviously it's the best. And so the obstacle that I came upon were friends and family, people that I love, who do not think the same way I do. That was a real dilemma for me. I've had some really rocky times with this. And so, you know, program has allowed me not to deal with it perfectly, but to deal with it. So I often share on my brother because, you know, we fight a lot or what have you. And I would just send, but you know what? Who was starting the fight? It was me. I was sending him nasty texts all the time. Like, if I was getting these texts from someone, I'd be like, yo, you need to go see a therapist. I don't know what is wrong with you. So I'm grateful that program has allowed me to see how crazy I was being. And I'm not in charge of his life. I'm not in charge of anyone's life. I'm only in charge of doing the best that I can do on a day-to-day basis. And like, I'm not really in charge of mine. I mean, I do my best, but you know, things can happen. So I feel, you know, there are still ups and downs in life. You know, I personally suffer periodically from anxiety and depression. And it's hard to be happy, joyous, and free when one is feeling that. But you know what? It's okay, because this too shall pass. I have so far always been able to get through it. And I would just like to close by saying that OA has changed my life dramatically. Even if I live in the same house and have the same job, I feel differently. And I'm a work in progress, and I'm so grateful for OA, and I'm so happy that you were all here. And I just want to say thank you for your service by showing up. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for your very wonderful, insightful share, Siobhan. Let me stop the recording now.